Today on Real Life Radio.
Your life, God wants to radically restore. Christian that's backslidden or non-believer, He wants to restore you to Him.
This is Real Life. Welcome to Real Life Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. Did you know that you can defeat fear with faith? If you want your life to be ignited every day with effortless faith, peace, purpose, and direction, you're going to love our current featured resource. It's called Ignite Your Life by Barry McGuire. Now, Barry's infectious love for Christ shines through every page of this book. You're going to really like it. You're sure to realize that the further we stray from the Lord, the greater the turmoil, and the closer we get to Him, well, the greater the peace, the love, and joy that we have in our hearts.
It is a book that is a must read to help you learn how to share Jesus Christ with everybody in any situation. You're going to be surprised as to how easy it is to move someone just a little bit closer to Jesus Christ.
Ignite Your Life by Barry McGuire is our gift to you when you make a donation of any amount to the Ministry of Real Life. Go to jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com and get your copy of Ignite Your Life today. On today's edition of Real Life Radio, Pastor Jack continues in his series called 1 Corinthians with a message titled Saints, Sex, and Sinners, Part 2. 1 Corinthians was written, of course, by the Apostle Paul to the Church of God in Corinth. It's a study on how to stay true to the gospel message of Jesus Christ. But now Paul introduces a whole new section of his letter. Now, as a disclaimer, this message may not be appropriate for young listeners, so please take note that if they're listening along with you right now, this might not be the message for them. So today, Pastor Jack teaches that our God wants the struggle of sexual sin to not have a hold on us. His desire is to radically restore us back to purity. Now, with his message called Saints, Sex, and Sinners, Part 2, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
No one has the power, thank God, no one has the power who, when they disagree with you, even if it's some church and its leadership, if you're a Christian, no organization's got the authority to say, we excommunicate you. Amen. You'll never make it to heaven. No one's got that authority. Nobody. Pope doesn't have it. Billy Graham doesn't have it. Whoever you're thinking about in your head, they ain't got it. No man on the planet. When Paul says, take this guy that's sinning and cast him away from you, he's saying sever his fellowship and he's not allowed at the church. There's a great reason why, and I hope we get to it today. If I would just hurry up, we would. You're going to see by the end, it's all done in love and it's all to get the guy to come back around to Christ. By the way, remember this. I said it last week. I'll say it this week and the next time. The woman's not mentioned at all in this. It takes two to wrestle. She's not mentioned because she's not a Christian. The man who's in trouble is a man who's a Christian. Why? The Bible tells us that God spanks his kids. Well, Pastor, I would never spank my child. Oh, remind me to never want to meet your kids. The Bible says a child left to himself brings reproach to his mom. The lethargy that the church was exhibiting at Corinth was dangerous, and Paul is saying, hey, take this guy, walk him out, pray for him, put him on the street. He wants to live like the world? This is how God talks to his church. He wants to live like the world? Then go play in the world. Didn't the prodigal son go play in the world? This is the exact same story. Think about that. The prodigal son went and played in the world, got sick of it, huh? He got fed up with it. Came back home to Papa. We know later from Scripture that this man will come back. We find out in 2 Corinthians that this guy repents and comes back. Isn't that cool? It's nice being here now. You know the end of the story. But what about you today? Where are you living? You say, well, nobody knows, Jack, that I'm sleeping with bubbles. Nobody knows. Hey, let me tell you something. God knows. And the book of Numbers says your sin will find you out. God, you may think you're fooling people walking around and there's a big sign over your head and God has given his people discernment because he loves you. He won't let you live like that. He's reaching you. So in 1 Corinthians 5, look at, sneak ahead to verse 11. We're not there. Don't even get your hopes up. But look a few verses down at verse 11. It says, "But now I am writing to you that you must not associate with anyone who calls himself," what? "A brother who is sexually immoral. Regarding such a man, you're not even to eat with him." Now, read that. Look at that carefully. Are you supposed to eat with non-believers? Yeah. Witness to them. Love them. Isn't that interesting? But someone who knows the way and is not walking in the way, a fellow brother or sister in Christ, the Bible says, don't eat with them. That's not mean. It's to get them to understand that just as God is not talking to them. Did you know that? 1 John 1, verses 7 through 9 says so. And Isaiah 59, 1 and 2 says so. God says, "My hand's not too short that I can't save you, and my ear is not deaf that I cannot hear you. But your sins have separated you from me so that I will not listen to you and I will not save you." When we sin as Christians, we break fellowship with God. We're still his kids. God does not believe in abortion. If you're in the family, you're in the family. But if you're not walking with him, you're going to suffer. And in this case, sexual immorality is a tremendously profound sin because it affects our very soul. Listen to this. Is this not sweet? James 5, verses 19 to 20. This is an amazing verse. James 5, 19 to 20 says, "My brothers, if any one of you should wander from the truth," he's talking to brothers now, "and someone should bring him back," remember this, "whoever turns a sinner from the error of his way will save him from death and cover over a multitude of sins." Notice it says save him from what? Death. Not save him from hell. Jesus saves people from hell. If you know a brother or sister who's caught up in sexual immorality or sin for that matter, and you reach them and bring them back into the fold, you have delivered that brother or sister from a life of grief that could even lead to death, premature death. Amazing, huh? Also this, repenting before a loving God means that as a church, we repent of our doctrine. We repent of our doctrine. I'm not talking God's doctrine. I'm talking our doctrine. Look at verse 3. It says, "For indeed, as absent in body, but present in spirit, I have already judged as though I were present," says Paul, "him who has done this deed." Doctrine. Somehow the church at Corinth thought it's okay to live like this. You know, things like this. "Oh, we believe in the Bible, but you know, some of it's really old. Oh, we believe in parts of the Bible." You know, there's a group out there. Did you know this? There's a group out there called the Red Letter Group. "We only believe in the red letter parts, only the words that Jesus has spoken." And it's interesting because they hold a certain view in life, they have selected an alternate lifestyle. And their claim is the red letters don't address that lifestyle. And yet it does. The red letters do. But that is to say, number one, my authority, my doctrine is over God's, because what they're saying is God's book from Genesis to Revelation is not his book. There's not far from here. What are those guys called? Is it the Jesus seminar people? Up there at the Claremont School of Theology, and they will tell you, they have decided which verses in the entire Bible are of God and not of God. Is that amazing? "We will tell you what's of God." Wow. Somewhere I read in the Bible, it says, if you add to or take away from this book, the plagues of this book will be given to you. Don't mess with God's Bible. Verse by verse, line upon line. I'd like you to write this down, if you would, if you care about this. I hope you do. I'm going to talk about what a real biblical Christian church is. Kind of started with it with the introduction. A real biblical Christian church, I have to insert biblical Christian church, is to be so radically different from the world that, one, it causes eyes to burn, as it were. Man, there's too much light coming out of that person or that place. I'm talking about spiritual light, obviously. That's the church that causes problems. Really, what kind of problems are we talking about? Everybody was fine with not praying in Jesus' name until that church over there in Chino Hills got wind of it. And the city fathers were fine with it until that church petitioned the city fathers and then printed up a bunch of t-shirts that said, I pray in Jesus' name. And it made everybody uncomfortable. Makes your eyes burn. Too much light. Wait, someone turn down the light. A radical church for Jesus, number two, makes lives uncomfortable. We don't say this in a sarcastic way. But we know this, that when the word of God is taught, it's going to make some people come to Christ and some people reject Christ. We know it's going to make some people break down. It's going to make some people be very encouraged. That's not our job. We're to present the word of God, and God, the Holy Spirit, does with the word as he sees fit. Amen. But a church that is alive and real, and it's a biblically based church, is going to, by nature, make people uncomfortable. Last week, I got emails about how uncomfortable it made some people in the church that they were uncomfortable with the title of the message. And I got one guy who just railed on me, and then the next email I got was a woman who said, my 12-year-old has never taken notes before on a Sunday morning. That's cool. The word of God slices and dices. It opens up and it heals. You can shoot the messenger. Just make sure you're a good aim. Don't wound me. But that's to no effect. It's God's message. And it's holy and it's pure. Causes our eyes to burn at times. It makes our lives uncomfortable at times. Thirdly, it creates heartburn in us. We know down deep inside, I need to make a decision about this. Man, if you're not a Christian this morning and you're hearing right now, Jesus loves you. He died on the cross for your sins. He's God that came down at Christmas time, born in a manger in Bethlehem. And he rose again from the grave to get you into heaven. That's how valuable you are. You never again have to worry about self-esteem. God is nuts about you. But there's a problem. You've got all this junk on you from your past life up into this moment, and he wants to wash it away. That's why he died. And he wants to scrub you, as it were, with a pad, a Brillo pad, dipped in blood. And he washes you clean. He does that in a second. He loves you so much. And if a person hears that and says, man, I'm not a sinner. I think I eat, drink, and be merry, and I don't want to hear this stuff. And that makes me uncomfortable. Listen. Your heartburn can lead you to Christ. It can also lead you away from Christ. It depends on what you decide to do with it. It also brings hope to the soul. Did you know that? A church alive and a biblically based church should bring hope to your soul. Number five, it should give peace to your mind. This is the most important thing, one of the most important things for me personally. You can imagine in a church this size, all the stuff that people imagine or think, say or do or whatever, I don't know. Listen, at night when I lay my head down, there's only one person that knows the absolute truth. And that's God and my wife. Right?
You're listening to Real Life with Pastor Jack Hibbs. You know, to hear more episodes and maybe catch up in the series, just go to jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. And for now, let's get back to our teaching. Once again, here's Pastor Jack.
Peace. Do you have peace? When you lay your head down at night, are you free? The Bible tells us in the book of Acts, I'll just paraphrase it for time's sake, the Bible says in Acts chapter 5, verses 28 to 33, that when the gospel was being preached, the authorities got upset and they said, you are not to speak any longer and preach in his name. You know the famous statement. They said, it's better for us to obey God rather than man. And when they preached and Peter preached and says, you know what? It's by your hands that you crucified the Lord of glory. He's the one that we preach. The Bible says, and they were cut to the heart when they heard that. Very important. We need to be careful, church, that our doctrine is God's doctrine, that we're not trying to convince God of our doctrine that we make up. In a word, Bible. Are you going to marry somebody? Are you going to move? Are you pursuing a job? Do you have family issues? Is it a marital issue? Get your answer from the Bible. Absolute authority, the Bible. The strength is in the Bible. If you don't, our emotions will try to dictate what our doctrine will be. And that will always lead us astray. Repenting before loving God, before we head off to the third point this morning, I want you to picture this in your mind. It's John chapter 8. You can write down the verse. John 8, verses 2 to 11. John 8, 2 to 11. Is this not our God? Now watch this. You want to talk about sexual immorality? Can you imagine with me? John chapter 8, I'll read it. A woman caught in the act of adultery. That's sexual immorality. She's caught. They grab her and drag her to Jesus' feet. Can you imagine? Have you ever been caught with your hand in the cookie jar? Lisa says, Don't eat this until it's dinner time. And she walks around the corner and I've got the spoon in my mouth. Immediately, your ability to lie is profound. I was just testing it to see if you needed salt or something. As your nose grows, you know. You're busted. Little junior, did you eat a cookie? I told you not to eat a cookie. And they have crumbs all over their face and they're going like this with their hands. They're shaking the crumbs off. Busted. Imagine this woman is in the act of adultery and she gets caught and they grab her and they bring her to the feet of God in human skin. Jesus. What would you do? Listen to this. Now, early in the morning, he came again to the temple, and all the people came to him, and he sat down and he taught them. And then the scribes and the Pharisees brought to him a woman caught in adultery. I've always wondered, how did they catch her? What were they doing there? Anyway. And where's the guy? Moses says, bring both of them. Anyway, I think it was a setup. The scribes and Pharisees brought her to him, caught in the act of adultery. And when they had set her in the midst, they said to Jesus, teacher, this woman was caught in adultery, the very act. Now Moses in the law commanded that such a one should be stoned, but what do you say? I think that's amazing that they would have that debate in their head. Because they knew he loved the law, but they knew he was gracious. This they said, testing him, that they might have something to which they could accuse him of. But Jesus stooped down and wrote on the ground with his finger as though he didn't hear them. So when they continued asking him, the word means they wore on. You know, to... It's just sickening. And he's writing in the dirt. I think I know what he's writing in the dirt. But so he's stooped down, he's writing, and they continue on. And he says to them, as he raised himself up, he who is without sin among you, let him cast the first stone at her. And again, he stooped down and wrote in the ground. I think he wrote all the sins of the people who were accusing her. I think he was just looking at that guy. What's the guy's Fred? Fred. Mike. I really do. I don't think that's a stretch. Watch this. And those that heard it, being convicted by their conscience, that's where the Holy Spirit lives, went out one by one, beginning at the oldest. The oldest left first, down to the youngest. And Jesus was left alone. Why did the oldest guy leave first? Because when Jesus started, older people have more sins than younger people do. They've lived longer. They've had more time to sin. He probably looked at the old guy. Fred. Barney, guy's younger. Betty, Wilma, but younger, until the youngest one left and there's nobody there. And Jesus said to her, woman, where are your accusers? And she says, it appears that I have none, sir. And he says, woman, neither do I accuse you. Go and sin no more. Go and live your life and make sure that this has no hold on you any longer. What a powerful statement for us to repent before our loving God. Listen, this is table talk stuff. This is stuff, I know it's not the normal Sunday morning church service. It's not going to be until after we get done with part 3 of this. This is serious stuff, and yet it touches every one of our lives. Listen, your life, God wants to radically restore. Christian that's backslidden or non-believer, he wants to restore you to him. And in this gathering this morning, there's probably predominantly three camps of people. There are those who are doing everything they can to walk with Jesus, and it's a beautiful place to be. Now, if you're out there thinking, well, man, that seems like it's hard. No, that's a lie from the flesh and from the enemy. Let me tell you, it's much easier to walk daily with Jesus than it is to be like a stray bullet ricocheting off the wall all over the place. That's a hard life. Are you a Christian and you just cannot, listen, you cannot control your sexual appetite? Listen, you need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. No man or woman, look at King David, a man after God's own heart, a man who is profoundly represented in the Bible, was not only an adulterer, he was a murderer. But when he woke up, he said, one thing have I desired, and that, not Bathsheba, will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. Amen. You guys, if you'd be honest with God right now, you could say, Lord, I struggle in this area. Do you say, for example, please listen to me. This is family. Are we family? Yes. Here's the deal. If you're struggling with your past, and that's behind you, it's past, but it haunts you. You need to trust the Lord, my friend. He says, I will remove your sin, and I have removed your sin from you so far, that I removed it as far as the east is from the west. East never hits west. It's impossible. That's how far it is from you. You need to believe him. Number two, if you're living in a way where you've got no power, you think, to resist the temptations that come in your life, you need to say, Lord, fill me with your Spirit. Fill that void up so that none of that stuff has any ability to get in.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Life Radio, with his message called Saints, Sex, and Sinners, Part 2. Thanks for being with us today. You know, this message is part of Pastor Jack's series called 1 Corinthians. It's a series on the Corinthian church and the Apostle Paul's bold call for purity. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Life Radio. Are you searching for answers these days in a world where truth is hard to find? Well, my friend, as you heard in our broadcast, Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And if you'd like to learn more about what that means to you personally, just go to our website, jackhibbs.com, and then click on that tab there that's labeled Know God. And there you'll be guided through what committing to Jesus Christ really means and the freedom that you'll find in knowing God. That's the Know God tab at our website, jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com.
Looking for an inspiring way to pass some time? Or maybe just need some help to get through your workday? How about listening while you work? The Jack Hibbs Podcast brings you real stories, real people with real life experiences. From inspiring journeys to thought-provoking conversations, we've got it all. So discover a world of knowledge, laughter, and connection. The Jack Hibbs Podcast and so much more are available on our website at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com, where faith meets real life.
Hey, everybody, I just kind of want to let you in behind the scenes a little bit, while at the same time really calling upon all of you throughout the world that listen to this program. Behind the scenes means this, that the church I have the honor of pastoring here in Southern California, every single week, every single service, there are visitors from other parts of the world that have come to just sit with us and to go through the Word of God together. It's so sweet, and it's such a special time. And the reason why we're coming together in one geographical location on that any given Sunday or Wednesday night is the fact that it's the Word of God. They have come to enjoy a service in person. Well, for most of us, you and I cannot do that. But you know what? The wonderful producers here on this program had this great idea. How about you and I adopting a topic and praying about that topic each month? So for example, starting this month, I want to invite you to pray with me that God's truth would prevail. How's that? That God's truth would prevail in elections, in our health challenges, that God's truth would prevail in our marriage, with our children, our grandchildren. Let's pray this month for God's truth to be not compromised, but exalted, not dissed or pushed away, but obeyed. Let's pray for God's truth. Let's start now, all this month, together. So let's do that. Let's pray for God's truth to prevail. Father, we come before you now and we ask you, Lord, to take absolute sovereign control over our lives and all that we come in contact with in this world that you've placed us in. So, Father, we pray that truth would never be sacrificed on the altar of unity or of temptation or compromise or anything whatsoever, but your truth would prevail in all things regarding our life. In Jesus' name, amen.
This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Life Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time here on Real Life Radio.